Good morning, a Monday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan from the Washington Post this morning. Senator Joe Manchin III, of course, Democrat of West Virginia, on Sunday said he would not support federal voting rights legislation that his party has argued is critical for preserving democracy. An announcement that effectively turned the path ahead for all other major items on President Biden's agenda into quicksand. In an op-ed in the Charleston Gazette-Mail, Manchin said he thought the For the People Act, which Democrats say is needed to secure free and fair elections and protect against GOP-led efforts to restrict voting on the state level, often disproportionately affecting voters of color, was too partisan. Manchin also defended the filibuster and said he would not vote to weaken or eliminate the Senate rule that requires 60 votes for most legislation to pass.
Well, David, look, the question that you are asking is, what's on Manchin's mind? Of course, nobody knows what anybody else is thinking. But from where I'm sitting, it does look like Manchin wants to stay senator, United States senator, one way or the other. And he knows that basically he has to be what's called a Republicrat. In other words, he has to be a Democratic Republican, Democratic in name, but in a Republican state, doing what needs to be done to get Republican voters. It's that simple. If they perceive him as a conservative man, as somebody who is basically a Democrat, but what we call a blue dog Democrat, well, you know, he'll survive. At least that's the way he sees it. Now, for the Democrats, that's a tough one because they have to make an assessment as to whether or not they need him that badly in a 50-50 split, which the Senate is now in. If they knew him that badly, they have to let him go. They have to let him do his thing. And so it does look like Manchin will not principle himself to political death. And, you know, he's going to stay with what it is. He's pretty predictable. Now, he's come up with some other ideas about how to do it. But basically, he's put a knife in the heart of the program.
So now what? What do the Democrats do?
Well, the Democrats have to use whatever ingenuity they have to make sure that elections are being handled fairly. They have investigations that they can do. They can call witnesses. They can basically try to hold the Republican Party accountable for the chicanery that they are doing in these several states, making sure that people can vote. First of all, you know, there are always people who will say, well, that ain't right. There are those people who will say, even if they're Republican or conservative or independent, they'll say, no, that's not right. We were supposed to live in a democracy where everybody's vote is supposed to count. And these characters are trying to turn it around so that particularly people of color can't count as voters. Therefore, you appeal to people's sensibility. Other than that, I don't know what else you can do. You can wait for the 22 elections and hope that you come out better than you are now.
Speaking of the last mile of vaccinations, vaccination rates are falling off, imperiling Biden's July 4th goal. It's become a marathon now. Health officials showing up at stores, parks, factories to entice people who might not otherwise get immunized. I saw that Jill Biden, the First Lady, and Dr. Anthony Fauci made a stop in Harlem to encourage people to get vaccinated. You know, you can't win this race if you don't cross the finish line.
No, in order to get herd immunity, you need about 70% of the people getting vaccinated. That's not going to be an easy thing to do. I personally talked with people who just don't know. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. So that there is one crowd of folks, one set, as we say, who will be persuadable. Then there are those who are Trumpian in nature. Now, Trump got a shot, that's for sure. And yet there are many of the same people who wouldn't wear masks when they were supposed to and who now will say, I'm not getting that vaccination. And some will be really misinformed. Let's just put it that way and say this is a government plot. Those people you're not going to get, in my opinion. And those will be the ones who unfortunately will fall victim to this terrible virus.
The Supreme Court is beginning its sprint to the finish. A decision by one justice may be most important from the Washington Post this morning, whether Justice Stephen Breyer will create an opening for President Biden to fill. It's not an easy task to get a Supreme Court justice on the bench for life to step down.
No, not only that, you got a 6-3 majority of the basically Trumpian Republican crowd. Now, have they said no on a number of occasions when he tried to rob the election? Yeah, they did. But we know where they're going to be on most things. Now, if Breyer steps down, that's not going to help that 6-3. That won't change things. It will just give you a little bit more added protection so that it isn't 7-2 if Breyer falls one way or the other. So that's the thinking on this. there are those who feel that Justice Ginsburg should have done it, too. And they make a compelling case, to be perfectly honest with you, even though she is, will always be regarded as one of the great contributors to the Supreme Court.
Kamala Harris has been tasked with some tough problems, including immigration. She is in Latin America dealing with just that. A interesting column by Frank Bruni in the New York Times over the weekend I read, Alan, with the title Kamala Harris Can't Win. When it comes to the conservatives, the Republicans, no matter what she does, she's criticized. And even on the Democratic side, some have said she might be being set up.
Well, yeah, there's always this business about, are you setting her up? She's a woman, and therefore you shouldn't be giving her all these hard jobs. On the other hand, there's an expectation that if Joe Biden steps down or steps aside or even dies, Kamala Harris is going to be the next president. You can't say she gets a pass on the tough jobs. He's given her the tough jobs. This is the time she has to prove herself or not. It isn't a matter of whether she's a woman or a man. These are tough jobs. And if she's going to be president of the United States, she's going to be able to do them. It's that simple.
We hear, of course, that she asked for the immigration job.
We do. Look, she knows, as we all know, that this should not be a secondary job. It should be a partnership with the president, and it has to include the tough jobs. And if it turns out that she can do it, she'll be a great heroine. If it turns out she can't, it's going to have a political consequence.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok.